Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
Amen. Amen. Hey, turn the person next to you, say, I need you. I need you. Turn the other person and say, you need me. You need me. You need me. Hey, obviously it's been a crazy year, 2020, but you know, I don't know how this finds you and where you're at right now and what's going on in your life. But really this morning, I just want to encourage you, as I did our 9 a.m. service, just with the word of God, but also just really want to encourage you for the season ahead and where you are right now. I want to let you know that, you know, God's for you. He's on your side. You know, he calls you friend and he wants to work with you. He wants to work through you. And in a world where it can be so easy to be caught up in the things of life and what's going around outside, I want to let you know that God is for you. Like, he wants to help you. He wants to be on your side. And all he requires of us, of broken, imperfect people like me, like you, like all of us in this room, is that we just partner with his spirit and that we allow ourselves to be led by his spirit. And so we've been speaking as a church about this joy. We've been speaking in the last few seasons, really Christmas seasons, about joy. And we speak about it around Christmas time because for unto us a child was born, a Savior was given. You know, his name, Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace. But we celebrate a season where he was born, where it was good news that would deliver great joy. Good news and great joy. And we've been speaking about the fact that as believers, joy is our kingdom inheritance. That means if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you automatically have access to this, not just temporary joy, but to this eternal joy. And it's got absolutely nothing to do, what we can drum up. We get up in the morning and psych ourselves up and say, hey, we got to have that joy. No, that's not it, friend. It's the joy that is found in God. It is a joy that is found in the fruit of the Spirit. And this word joy is actually this Greek word kata, which is a joy or a delight, but the actual translation is a rejoicing because of God's grace. Rejoicing because of God's grace. We established over the last few weeks through Galatians 5:22 that joy is actually a fruit of the Spirit. It's not something that's a temporary thing, but it's a permanent action or a permanent fruit in our lives. Shared with our 9 a.m. service that I was in Cambodia maybe a few years ago now, and I was in this township. And these houses were built on this graveyard site. And so in some of the houses, the saying, you know, sleeping amongst the dead was literally them. There were tombs in their houses. There were graveyard. It was like a graveyard kind of district or area. And so you'd walk into some houses and you'd see some tombs throughout, some of them really high, some of them long. Some people would use these as beds or as couches to have meals on. Others would try and have a lot of respect for it, so not go near it. But we'd walk through this district with this organization, not a proper organization, who we help support at Nations Church called Brave Ministries. And this lady called Melinda Lim, who founded it and helps run it. I was walking through it with her, and we were going through different houses, and we got to this last house. I didn't have any more resource with me. Melinda didn't either. And as we walk in, they kind of greet us. Hi, how are you? Just excited, just full smiles on their face, just looking at us, asking me how are things going? And all the while while they're talking to me, I'm literally just looking at this massive, like huge, maybe 2 meter long tomb just in the middle of the area where they are. They're in this tiny space. And they, as I leave, I talked to Mel and I said, Mel, they were so happy. Like that was, it felt wrong of me to not be happy in their house. But I was just wondering, did they want something from me? Like, were they happy because they wanted to get something? Was I meant to give them something? Was it like a temporary smile kind of so that I could maybe give them some finance or some resource? Like, what was kind of going on? And Mel said, well, actually, Gareth, we've known them for a little while and they've actually made a decision some time ago to follow Jesus. And you need to know that they've had these conversations with me and they're in this space right now where they're understanding or they're knowing that the reason that they're alive, the reason they're standing, they've seen so much atrocities in life, but the reason they're standing right now is but for the grace of God. And so this joy is tied to this hope that they have, that they're standing here, they're living, they're breathing because of the grace of God. And they have this reality so permanent in their lives that there is this abundance of happiness in their life. There is this abundance of joy in their life, not because of what's going on outside them, but because of the reality that they have inside. And that really hit me hard. Because, friend, that's true joy. That's true joy. Rejoicing in the grace of God, that's true joy. When things around you don't really look the greatest, when things around you maybe aren't where you thought they would be, it's easy to take a stand, to have that action of joy in your life when things are going absolutely great. It's very much a different case when things aren't going so well. You know, all throughout the Bible, we're introduced to so many different characters, from Moses to Joshua to Jacob and to a woman called Esther. And all these different people who were not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but all people who God chose to partner with and chose to encourage the people around them to keep going, to keep fighting the good faith, to keep running this race, to not quit, to not stop. And the writer of Hebrews, we don't really know the author, but the writer of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 to 4, actually goes on to say this. Therefore, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, present and also above, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us. And let us run with perseverance the race marked for us. In other words, let's not give up, but let's fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer, perfecter of faith, for the joy set before him. That's you, that's me, that's the finished work of the cross, that's dying, that's rising again. He endured the cross, scorning its shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and you will not lose heart. The writer is writing to a group of believers living in Rome. They would know the freedom of what it is like to believe in Christ, to live in the freedom, yet daily be under persecution. They would know what it is like to believe in a God of divinity, a God of deity, yet have the very people around them squash and deny that very existence of their God. Maybe it seems a little bit extreme for us in first worlds, but for many third worlds today, that's a very real reality that they go through. And the author would then go on in Hebrews 13, verse 22, to say that this book is a book of exhortation. That is, this book that I am writing is a book of encouragement. In other words, the book of Hebrews was written to encourage the early church, to encourage the local church, to let them know that things might not get better, but there's an eternal hope that you hold on to. Things might be a little bit difficult, but there's still hope. There's still an eternal value in your life. You can still keep going. It's an encouraging book. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I need encouragement. Sometimes I need encouragement. I need it from people. But more importantly, I need it from God. I need it from the Bible. I need it from the promises of the Word of God. And this is a great passage, because it's like, hey, listen, I know stuff comes up in life. And I know sometimes we get busy. And I know sometimes we fall short. Romans 3:23, for all have fallen short for the glory of God. And I get it. And I get it, there's mistakes that sometimes we get twisted and tangled up in it. But the writer's saying, but I'm just imploring you, I'm letting you know, can you just keep going? Can you just keep going? Can you lift your head to the heavens? Maybe that's where you have to look this morning, to the heavens, because that's where your help comes from. Can you just focus on a Savior? Can you focus on Jesus Christ? And when things get hard, consider Jesus. The writer of Hebrews says, consider Jesus. Consider his life. Consider what he went through. Consider that he endured the cross for the joy set before him, the eternal joy of you and me, of the finished work of the cross, of dying and rising again. And I don't know about you, but I'm so glad Jesus didn't stop. I'm so glad it wasn't just a fleeting emotion, that he wasn't like, oh, you know what, Garden of Gethsemane, this is all too hard, I'm done. And when he was getting whipped, it's like, all right, nah, I'm out here. Maybe the moment he got spat on, that was too far. And when he went to the cross, inscribed on it, King of the Jews, nah. The audacity of these people, I am that. They don't need to mock me about it. I'm so glad that along the journey, Jesus never quit. He never stopped. And for everyone wondering, there was a lot of opportunities to stop. Because I can tell you, if I was in that situation, I probably would have stopped. But Jesus keeps going. And the writer says, consider the focus that he had, that his joy wasn't fleeting. Like, it wasn't temporal. It wasn't based on an emotional state that he had. It was a permanent nature. And I'm so thankful that when we look at our lives, that joy is a fruit of the Spirit. It is about being attached to the vine. It is about being attached to a source. It's nothing that I can do when I wake up one day and drum up in my own strength. You know what? Yep, Gareth, today's a day where you're going to have joy. No, it's just waking up saying, you know what? I'm going to switch on. I'm going to be attached to the source. Holy Spirit, what do you want to say to me today? Holy Spirit, how do you want to minister to me today? Because every promise in the Word of God is attached to God. It's not like God's like, hey, I've got these amazing promises to you, but just this is kind of a weird part of the Bible, but they're not attached to me. You gotta search outside of me to find it. No. Jesus is like, hey, every good and perfect thing comes from my Father. It comes from me. If you abide in me, then I will abide in you. And I think sometimes the hard thing is, you know, it's been a crazy year and we're nearly at the end. And when I think about the different fruits of the Spirit and I think about joy, I think about how sometimes we can treat the fruits of the Spirit like the fruits of the natural. You know, they're like seasonal fruits. Like, who likes summer fruits? Like, you know, berries, strawberries. Who likes paying like $1 million for some raspberries? Any hands up? Good, you're smart, not like my kids. Okay, so you got those fruits and you got wind, and they're seasonal, but the joy of the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit, aren't just some seasonal kind of fruits. There are permanent fruits in our lives. They exist each and every day. You know, the story of Christmas is so powerful. It's so beautiful. In the different Gospels, we're told about the birth of Jesus Christ and the angel showing up and ministering to Mary. Mary, man, what a story, what a time, what a season to be in, this young woman. Put yourself in her shoes. Gabriel appears in Luke chapter 1, 35 to 38. Mary's like, how can it be? Me? You're going to choose me? Gabriel says, yeah. The Spirit of holiness will fall upon you and the Almighty God will spread his shadow of power over you in a cloud of glory. This is what the child to you will be holy. So this is what the child born to you will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your aged aunt, Elizabeth, has also become pregnant with a son. The barren one is now in her sixth month. I love this part. Not one promise from God is empty of power, for nothing is impossible for God. That's beautiful. This is a Passion Translation. I want to read that last line again. Not one promise from God is empty of power, for nothing is impossible for God. I love that. I love it. When I read the Bible, I like to look at the last things that kind of God inspires or encourages someone with, or when there's a divine word or when an angel appears, the last kind of lines, the last words, because that tells me what the angel is trying to emphasize or what the prophetic word is trying to emphasize for that person for the next season. And the angel of the Lord could have said anything, anything. Could be like, hey, just a reminder, I don't want to freak you out, but this is kind of a big deal. You know, like, there's a lot that's riding on this. Do you know who Jesus is? Do you know he's the Son of God? Do you know he's going to do great miracles? He's going to do great signs? 2,000 years from now, Mary, people are going to be celebrating this day. People are going to be looking back on this day. This is such a significant in all the archives and history. Even if people don't believe in Jesus, they are also going to celebrate. He could have said all that. It was all known, but everything could have left Mary with leaves her with this. Not one promise from God is empty of power, for nothing is impossible with God. So powerful. And it's so powerful when I think about joy and I think about the encouragement of joy, both through the Holy Spirit and through each other. Because at times in our lives, when we need certain things, it can be easy to forget the promises. See, we kind of want to focus on feelings instead of focusing on a promise. And I want to encourage you this morning, Nations Church Belmont, let's focus on the promises of God. Let's not just focus on temporary feelings. Let's focus on the promises of God. Gareth, is that simple? Absolutely, friend. Because these aren't my words. They're words from the Bible, living, breathing scripture. Not one promise from God is empty of power, for nothing is impossible with God. This moment that would shake all of human history, that would shape all of humanity, in this one moment, it was a divine visitation from an angel that would declare, this is proof that not one promise of God is empty. That you people might look at you, Mary, and think, this is impossible. A young woman, how will this even be possible? What about your husband? Where's he on the scene? Divine conception, that their minds would have been blown away. They couldn't have even understood this. And in this moment, the angel was declaring, even though man can't understand this, I'm declaring that the promises of God are permanent. The promises of God are not void of power, but nothing is impossible with God. What a powerful Christmas season it would be if the local church would continue to reflect on this moment, the birth of our wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ, but reflect on the power of that moment. All of Testament, Old Testament news fulfilled in that one moment, a Savior born for all of mankind. Out of anything that the angel could have left Mary with, leaves her with that promise. Go back to the promise. And maybe someone in here, you're like, man, guys, maybe it's been a rough year, or maybe you find yourself in a rough season this morning. And even just speaking about joy is sparking mixed emotions in you right now. Can I encourage you, go back to the promise. Go back to the promise of God. For nothing is impossible with God. You know what, when it comes to Mary, she would have been right to ask for a plan. I would have liked to ask for a plan. Like, how's this going to happen? How's it going to go? How's it going to lay out? I love using GPS devices and my phone, obviously, to get to different places, Google Maps, Waze, whatever it is. And I like to look at where I'm going. But before I start the journey, I like to zoom out to triple check where I'm going. It's like I want to find a shortcut. And my wife sometimes gets a bit annoyed because I got the very app to tell me the correct way to get there, but now I'm zooming back out because I want to make sure that my way isn't better than the app's way to get there. And a lot of times I'm like, Jess, you wouldn't understand. It's a male thing. You know, we got to make sure. But she's like, but you got the app to tell you where to go. It's this certainty in a plan. It's me wanting to know the plan, me wanting to have a certainty on what I can control. And often in our lives, we were like, God, thank you for encouraging me, but can you encourage me with the perfect plan? Like, it'll be great for me to hold on to my joy if I know the start, middle, and end. And so often we want to be encouraged with the perfect plan, but God wants to encourage us with his promise and his power. You know, I love what Paul would say to the church of Corinth. And it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And when he's talking to them, he's in a strange season because he's speaking to people who have now started to question his motives, started to question his character. So he's not only finding himself teaching, he's also finding himself affirming the very things that he set them up with the belief system for in the first place. And so now he's showing his humanity and the fact that, hey, I'm not some sort of God. I've got weaknesses. I've got struggles as well, but I've got a God who is on my side. And so he says this in verse 8, concerning the thing I pleaded with the Lord three times that might depart from me. But the Lord said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And he says, therefore, now that I know that, most gladly I would rather boast in my infirmities so that the power of the Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I now take pleasure in my infirmities, reproaches, needs, persecutions, distresses, for all for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, I am strong. I think the reason why it's so hard to kind of speak about joy in different seasons, and for some reasons why it's so hard to receive it, is because we tie them to situations and we tie them to our strengths and to our weaknesses. But Paul knew so clearly that, hey, listen, I'm just like you. I got weaknesses and I mess up and I fall short. But it's because of the grace of God that I keep going. And it's because of his unfinished work in me that I'm able to continue on this journey. So who am I to just drop my head and quit? I keep going. And even though you call out my weaknesses and you might call out the things that I'm struggling with, I'm glad I'm going through it because it shows that I'm still dependent on God's power. It shows that I'm still dependent on his grace. It shows that I'm still dependent on his abilities. I wonder if maybe in this Christmas season, there's a community that needs a church to be authentic. To say to them, hey, listen, we got stuff going on in our lives as well, but we got the grace of God. And I might be weak right now, but thank goodness I'm weak because it shows that my strength comes from him. And I might be going through stuff right now, but thank goodness I'm going through stuff because I know a God who's got the answers. And I know a God who's got the solutions. It's a drawing upon his grace. That's why our reasonable response is a response of joy. And I think sometimes the hard thing is that in our lives, we can feel like, you know, situations or seasons can kind of, I don't know, rob us of our joy. Maybe it's a relationship, workplace, colleague, something going on in your personal life, mental, physical, I don't know. Maybe you feel like that's kind of robbing your joy. But I want to give you some theology on that this morning before we finish up. Jesus was speaking to his disciples in John 16, 17 to 22. Some of his disciples said amongst themselves, what is that he says to us, a little while and you'll not see me again, a little while and you will see me? And because I go to the Father. So they said, therefore, what is that he says these things, a little while, for we do not know what he is saying. Now Jesus knew that they desired to ask him, and he said to them, are you inquiring amongst yourselves about what I said, a little while and you will not see me, and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will not see me? Jesus comes back again, and in verse 21, he says, and a woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish, but joy that a human being has been born into the world. Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. The disciples and Jesus are having this conversation, and Jesus is painting a picture to them on the temporal nature of their pain, the temporal nature of their anguish versus the permanent residency of their joy. And he says this to a crowd and a people who understood what it was like in a time of pilgrim and in a time of conquest for someone to go into battle and to come back victorious with the spoils of war. The township, the community would not ask him and look at his scars and his wounds and take time really anguishing over them, but they would be joyous at the conquest, at the spoils of victory. Jesus was speaking in this context to these guys and saying, hey, it might be a bit of anguish, a bit of sorrow for a temporal moment, but that gives rise to a permanent residency of joy in your life. See, because joy isn't just a feeling, it still remains even when your feelings fade away. And here's the thing, because it's not a feeling, it's not temporal. And because it's not temporal, it can't be manipulated. And because it can't be manipulated, it can't be taken from you. So if your joy can't be taken from you, I guess the question that I'm asking is, what are we surrendering our joy to? Or what are we exchanging our joy for? Whatever it is in your life, whatever it is in my life, we've all had seasons where we've made that conscious decision. Believe it or not, it's a conscious decision to surrender or exchange our joy for something else. Maybe it's grief. Maybe anguish, maybe sorrow, maybe pain, whatever it is, you put your statement into that line. But the genius of Jesus is that he gave us two things in order to help us keep walking this journey. He gave us the Holy Spirit, and he gave us each other. When he left, he promised a great advocate, a paraclete, the Holy Spirit, the great advocate and helper. And like I mentioned before in Galatians, we're told about the fruits of the Spirit and how joy is one of them and how it's attached to the source. It's attached to the Holy Spirit. Therefore, we don't need to work ourselves up and hype ourselves up. Like I said before, it's already there residing inside of us. We just need to attune ourselves to the Spirit of God. In fact, Jesus says these words in John 15 as the band joins me. You know, my Father loved me, and as my Father loved me, I also loved you. Abide in my love, therefore stay in my love. If you keep my commandments, you'll abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Jesus, and it's that whole passage of John chapter 15 is a fantastic whole chapter. We don't have time to fully unpack it. But Jesus is always saying in the Bible, every time he speaks to his disciples, hey, whatever you need, it's found in me. Whatever you need, whatever you're going through, it's found in me. Whatever you need right now in this season, in the next season, in the season to come, 10 minutes from now, 10 years from now, it's found in me. Jesus was constantly painting a picture of what life looks like to be attached to the source and to be disconnected from the source. And the picture were always two different things. One was someone being fruitful. One was someone being attached, being lively, having to rely on the grace of God that would sustain them. The other was being disconnected, living a life that didn't see that fruit. And he also gave us each other. No wonder Paul kept writing to all the early churches. No wonder the book of Acts was filled with people going to each other's houses, breaking bread, coming together in community. No wonder Paul kept saying, hey, I need you guys to do something for me. I need you to not despise meeting together as the habit of some, but I need you to build one another up, to encourage one another time and time again in the Gospels. Because why? God understood there's something about it when a believer can come along someone else and things aren't going well and say, hey, guess what? You can lift your head. Like, I know it's a bit tough right now, but you're not where you were 10 years ago. And you're not where you were 10 minutes ago. And it's by the grace of God that you're still here. Just for a second, remember, it's by the grace of God that you're alive. And can you remember for a second that it's by the grace of God that you're alive and breathing and that you're able to live this life? That's why we need each other. That's why we also need to be attached to the source, living in that constant relationship, in that constant place with the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but I want to be that constant person who is rejoicing because of the grace of God in any and every season in my life.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.